Aviation Quest is C101, wind 270 degrees, 10 knots, runway 27 left, cleared for takeoff.
Aviation Quest CC101, cleared for takeoff, 27 left. V1, rotate. Positive climb.
Aviation Quest CC. Stories from above. The views shared in this podcast are personal and for informational purposes only. They do not reflect any employer or aviation authority, and nothing discussed here should be considered flight training or regulatory guidance. Please always refer to official sources. This episode may also contain product placements. For further information, visit our website aviation-quest.ca.
So, red studio light for live on tape, Aviation Quest CC podcast number 19. And we are already, we are back in our flight simulation flow. It's so to say the third part of our ongoing series, and certainly with me in the podcast cockpit. My name is Jürgen Reis, and on the other side, our professional A320 first officer, Stefan. Hello.
Hey, Jürgen. How are you today? All good?
Ah, beautiful rainy afternoon here in Vorarlberg to talk about flight simulation, past to present. And to give the listeners a little bit, there was a spoiler alert already in episode 18. And I announced that there will be flight sim adventures. And we thought about how to manage this, to get it somehow into, because we could make 20 episodes of Flight Sim Adventures, easy going.
Probably, yes. Probably, because we've both been doing flight simming for decades now. And so obviously over time you collect a lot of nice memories.
Yeah, already my first five that might be covered today are... Yeah, all the way, so to say, back to my first one is from my early teenage year, and one is I enjoy my end of the day flight in the moment flight adventures. But yeah, we figured out a method. We said we make an upper limit of 3 flight sim adventures podcasts. This is part 1 of 3, and we cover as many as we can in this 3 parts. So is this correct? I think we should do it like this.
Yes, because we've had some experience with the FAQ, and we all know how that went.
From diversion to diversion, you mean?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But Stefan, what I'm not forgetting is Aviation-Quest Podcast is our YouTube channel. So we are an audio cast, but we are already a YouTube channel, and now we record this It's February 11th. We have already 125 subscribers, and yeah. Coincidentally, there is a subscribe button, and please subscribe there, because this is also, I think, Stefan, you will agree, what the algorithm likes. And we are publishing there not only the audio, but also a beautiful flight sim video, the animated part. And this is Stefan's work. And also today, I guess there is an awesome flight sim adventure at YouTube.
Yes. So as always, my quick explainer, you will see a real world flight. Today we're flying an Airbus A320 operated by Solomon Airlines, and we'll be flying something very exotic. We'll be taking off in Auckland in New Zealand, and we'll be flying to Vanuatu in the middle of the Pacific. It's a real world flight that happens, and I thought it'd be really nice to recreate it.
Wow, sounds really, really remote. Yeah, I'm looking forward to. And also you, by the way, that the podcast 15 was, so to say, the teaser about Stefan being a YouTube legend. The teasers are all on my side, but I think you will agree. I'm looking forward for your feedback. You can write us at aviation@aviation-quest.cc. We are looking for your feedback. You can also contact me directly via LinkedIn. But I hope and I think you will agree that Stefan, with almost 20 years of his channel FS Clips got 20 years of history. He is a YouTube legend. And yeah, also some of his flights, I think, are part of the adventure series, if I'm right here.
yes, they are. I'm still not sure about the legend, but I'll leave you with that.
I'm sure about it, and I wish some support from the listeners. Please write in if you agree that Stefan is a YouTube legend, and maybe also why. So I have to convince him further on, but it's don't know. Yeah, it is was a running joke yesterday. Stefan,
yeah.
Must have flown is the headline of my preparation here. Do you start? Should I start with the first flight sim adventure?
If you want to, I can quickly start because you actually brought something back to my memory when you told us about your very first flight simulator experience. If you remember, in the Atari booth, I think it was in Dornbirn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I actually had a similar experience, but with virtual reality. I went to a flight sim expo in the UK, and this goes back quite a few years now. At that time, virtual reality was still a brand new thing, and you know, the headsets were really expensive. And I remember there was a booth where they had an F-16 simulator, and you could try out to fly in virtual reality. So that was the first time someone put a headset on me, and I was sitting there on a chair with a joystick and everything, and I remember I almost fell off the chair because I found it so disorientating, but at the same time absolutely amazing how immersive it was and how realistic it felt. And I was flying around in the F-16 in virtual reality. And yeah, it was just unbelievable. And when I took the headset off, I was almost speechless. And that was the moment when I thought, hopefully one day this will become cheaper because this is something I need in my life. And luckily today I have a VR headset and I still absolutely love flying in VR. So that was a moment for me in flight simming that really stood out as you know, an experience that will probably stay with me for a long, long time.
How old were you back then?
It wasn't that long ago because VR is still fairly new. This must have been, I would imagine, 9 years ago or something like that. So yeah, not that much younger, but it was like 9-10 years ago when the first commercial headsets came out, you know, and I can't even remember what simulator it was, if it was Microsoft or DCS, one of the two, but it was just there was a long, long queue, as you can imagine. I had to wait for a very long time before I finally got my go. But it was worth the wait. It was an absolutely amazing experience. And I'm so happy that today headsets are actually really cheap comparatively and that everyone can have this experience. I mean, we talked about it before. There are some simulators like Aerofly FS4, which work absolutely amazing in VR. And it's just such a immersive, cool experience flying in virtual reality.
I think the F-16 also today. What simulator specifically would you choose nowadays to fly the F-16? Maybe also as realistic as possible. I think DCS.
Yes, absolutely. DCS is, yeah. I mean, it's a very specialized sim, of course. It's a military sim. But if you want study level aircraft, yeah, then that's the one to go for, yeah.
Seen a study level, I think, a YouTube video about an F-16. I think they modeled it really, or they made a really great replica in a simulator.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know much about the F-16 in DCS. I only know the F-18, and that's just a mind-blowingly complex aircraft. Every single thing works exactly like in the real thing, so you have to be prepared to do a lot of studying. But at the same time, it's a very rewarding sim. Performance-wise, it's very good. It runs really well on my PC. And it also runs really well in VR. So for me, it's one of those platforms that if you are into military flying machines, so to speak, because they also have helicopters and all sorts of things, that's definitely something I would take a look at. And we've talked about this before. DCS is free, which is amazing. You know, the simulator is actually free, so you can just download it and have a go. So absolutely.
I think I have no clue what the paper F-16 costs, but also this, I think it's an option. I think if you want to have really, I mean, the F-16 is for me as well as the F-18. These are still, yes, I am, I am Generation Top Gun and Iron Eagle.
No, me too.
I love this. I love this. I also have seen the F-16 in real life on an air show in Great Britain in my teenage years. It was amazing, but also amazing loud. But they did some ballistic flying. It was almost, I don't know, they made some really almost surreal tricks with this. It's crazy. They flew it on the engine, so to say. It was, I don't know, it was amazing.
Yeah, it is an amazing aircraft. I've been very lucky. When we lived in the UK, I went to a lot of air shows and got to see some really cool aircraft, like the F-117, the B-1B, the B-2, and all that stuff. The one aircraft I never ever saw live flying was the F-14 Tomcat, which is really sad because that's, the Tomcat is a legend, a proper legend.
So you were never Maverick. Oh,
Yes,
that's still
exactly. But
a bucket list item left, but maybe also not so hard to realize even in nowadays simulation world.
I have the F-14 for Microsoft Flight Simulator, and I really enjoy it. It's not an easy aircraft to fly, but it's just a really cool thing. The Tomcat is just one of those aircraft that you have to have, I guess.
Oh wow. I don't know. Are you ready for my flight sim adventure number one? It's somehow a little bit a downer after all these
No, no,
adrenals.
no, I'm
So
sure it
it's so
isn't.
boring. What's great about the Grand Canyon sightseeing? Yeah, I mean, I did this in real life with it was an awesome family trip all over the place. We're from California and then all the way up to Las Vegas, and also the Grand Canyon was part of the game. And there was this, yeah, it was a, I still have a photo here in my office. There was this young me, and besides, I was allowed to take, so to say, so the co-pilot seat, the passenger seat right off the pilot. And it was, yeah, the thermals were quite heavy. I remember a bumpy and awesome and unforgettable ride. And decades later, I also, yeah, I enjoyed it in the sim. I think there are more than there are a couple of sims out there which cover the Grand Canyon. The primary airport there is the Grand Canyon National Park Airport. So it's KGCN. The runway is about 9,000 feet. So it's certainly appropriate for, or it's much, it's long enough for all the little airplanes like Cessna 172, 182, etc. Also the Pilatus PC-12. Wow. Also a great plane. I loved, especially an X-plane. Is there a go-to? Certainly you can fly other light winds like a Baron or a Seneca. And also the helicopters are, yeah. The Grand Canyon, it depends of your simulator, but might be also for you a go-to. If you never visited this place, go to it. Go for it.
Yeah, I went to the Grand Canyon as well. I didn't do a flight. We were just hiking, and it was a very amazing experience.
Right.
Actually, that brings up a question from my side. You are very good with Aerofly. I only scratched the surface. Does Aerofly FS have a very good Grand Canyon?
I am really an insider of the older version, of the really old version of Aerofly, because this is the version which runs the most fluid on my PC. But I'm pretty sure, because Aerofly FS, I think even FS2, they covered this scenery. I mean, you can write in the comment now if I'm right or wrong. Really, this podcast should be a little bit of dialogue. I enjoy constructive criticism in the YouTube comment section. Go for it. But I'm pretty sure that even the FS2 and the FS4, I think I even saw a video on YouTube where they flew into the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
I mean, X-Plane certainly got it since the beginning, I guess. I don't know. And Microsoft Flight Simulator anyway, the newer versions, or the, I think, 2020 plus versions, maybe also the older ones. But, for me, the most impressive scenery of the Grand Canyon I was able to fly here on my PC was in X-Plane.
Okay.
But as I said, I think because the scenery of Aerofly FS4, it covers especially this region of the US, North America in stunning details. So the Grand Canyon must be there. Yeah. This is just my logic. But as I said, if I'm wrong, please comment me in the YouTube comment section.
Yeah, something for us to check out, I guess, at some point when we have a bit of time.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah.
As I said,
yeah.
All the preparation here is done as thorough as possible. But yeah, I think or the listeners can check it out themselves. KGCN is the airport.
Okay, well, I will try that out later on maybe and see what I
can. Hey, it's a good idea. You can tell us about this in the next episode. What about this?
Yes, I will. I've tried.
You will answer this question in episode 20. This is an idea. Should we move on to your second adventure?
Yes, this will take us back in time, quite far back. I can't remember the exact year, but there was a company called DC Designs. I don't know if you remember them, way back when. And they launched a Concorde for Microsoft Flight Simulator. If I remember correctly, it was for FS 2004. And then later they upgraded it for FSX. And it was the first, what was then considered study level Concorde. And it was the first aircraft where somebody modeled the entire flight engineer panel. So you had to go to the back, you had to do all the fuel pumps, you had to pump the fuel forwards and backwards. You know, it was a really complex aircraft, because obviously Concorde had two pilots and a flight engineer, and you were on your own, and you had to constantly jump in between the three seats and do all the procedures to get it all done. And I'm not going to lie, I struggled a lot with that aircraft at the beginning. I think a lot of people did, because it was so complicated. But they provided us with a really, really good manual. Very well written. In those days, it was all PDFs. And the flight that really was cool was when, for the first time, I managed to cross the Atlantic. So I flew from Heathrow to JFK. I followed the exact real-world procedures with going supersonic, subsonic, with shifting the center of gravity, all that stuff. And that felt like a real accomplishment when I touched down at Heathrow, because that aircraft was, I mean, it was beautiful. It was really nice to fly, but there was so much to do all the time. constantly going back, you know, flicking switches. There were all these weird systems that had to be manually controlled. It makes you realize how far we have come in aviation, because today we have only two pilots and a glass cockpit, and basically the computer does everything.
I think especially in the A320 with the fuel management and everything, there is normally a lot of automation going on.
Exactly, yes. The engine start procedure alone, I mean, we literally flick two switches and that's it. On the Concorde, there was like a whole long procedure, and you know, it didn't have an APU, Concorde, so there was another thing, and yeah. But I, even though it was a very complicated aircraft, I absolutely loved it, and once I got the hang of it, I flew across the Atlantic quite a lot with that aircraft.
And I think you told me about this when I visited you in England in late 2007. It was for you, I think, really a fascinating time with the Concorde. But yeah. This was, correct me, about how long did a flight actually take? 3.5 hours?
Yeah, about 3 hours and 30 minutes around that, yeah, from London to JFK, which is pretty amazing if you think about it.
This is really crazy. I mean, you start, don't know, you can go back the same day almost. This is crazy.
Yes, I suppose you could do a round trip. Yeah, no problem, I guess. Yeah.
An expensive meeting, but well.
Yeah.
You know who you are. You know who you are afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you got a story to tell in the evening with the family. Hey, you know what I did today? Huh?
Exactly. I mean, I still remember when I lived in the UK, Concorde was still flying when I moved there. And we lived near Heathrow and I could see it every day. And it was a really cool aircraft. Yeah. Such a shame that she's gone. But yeah. Something very special. I do hope, I mean, there is a Concorde for Microsoft Flight Simulator, but it's...
Is there?
Yeah. I bought it and it's okay. It's okay, but it's not... I wish we would get a proper study level, you know, highly detailed Concorde. That would be really cool. But, I mean, for now, it's fine. The one we have is... It does the job. Yeah.
So, well, Flight Sim add-on developers, you have heard a message, and maybe there is already a note now written down on some. Da, da,
da, da, da. Yes.
Yeah, well, my second flight or flight adventure, Stefan, if you allow. I was speaking of the late 2007 where I visited you, and afterwards, I think it was it a year or two later, we had an idea of the London City Airport. You might smile now.
Yes.
Remember this?
Yes.
So I was the 747 pilot certainly with the PMDG, with the Queen of the Skies, and you did an MD-11 approach.
Yeah.
And yes, we succeeded, but it isn't supposed to be flown.
No, not really. No.
It was fun. I was really, I think also you were, how many meters or centimeters of runway were left?
Not much. Yeah. Well, the whole approach is really not designed for aircraft like that. Yeah.
It was crazy. It was crazy. The runway lengths there, EGLC is the ICAO code, and the runway is not even 5,000 feet, so it's 1,508 meters, and there's this steep approach with 5.5 degrees instead of the standard 3%, so you come down pretty, pretty steep, and also the papillae, so the everything, it looks just impossible when you go down there, and especially certainly if you want to have a real challenge, check out an MD-11 or 747 or something, and then you know what the adrenals are.
Yeah, I remember that was a lot of fun. Yeah, I never flew back there again. It was the only time I landed at London City. Maybe I should try again. Maybe when the Just Flight Fokker comes out, because they used to fly into City Airport, they were certified to be allowed to fly there, if I remember correctly. So that would be an aircraft that could do it. But yeah, but if you want to have a real adventure, then yes, choose something that is definitely not supposed to fly in there, like an A330 or a Dreamliner or something, and see what happens.
Yeah, it's...
Or if you really want to go crazy, try an A380.
Yeah, or as I said, maybe also, I'm not sure about the, I have no clue about the specifics of the Dreamliner, but I guess this is easier to stop than a 747-400 and an NB-11. Because of the, you know, of the age of the, but maybe I'm just guessing here, but from my logic, I think the Dreamliner would have better brakes, but I don't know. As
yeah.
I said, test your limits, exceed your limits, and the end of the day, it's just simulated. The worst that can happen is you have crashed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree with you that the Dreamliner may be easier because it has a supercritical wing, which means the approach speed when you make it very light is actually very low. You can probably come in at like 135 knots if the aircraft is really light. And then you have the carbon brakes, which are very efficient. So yeah, I think a Dreamliner might actually be easier than the old school, you know, especially MD-11, 747, that had a lot of mass and came in quite quickly.
Yeah, and certainly, I mean, if you want to have a little bit an easier challenge, the turboprops like a Q400 or the ATR, also the Embraer jets or even an Airbus A318 or something like might fit. What's your take on that?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe, yeah. I don't know. I've never flown back to City Airport since the launch of the new Microsoft Flight Simulator. Maybe I should, because it's a super interesting place, right?
It's beautiful. I mean, the scenery is stunning.
Yeah.
Provided there's a decent London scenery, but I think this is given in some of the flight sims out there, and why not?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, I remember that. That was a proper adventure, even for the virtual people on the ground.
A bucket list item. I remember that we emailed ourselves screenshots, so to say, to prove what we have done. Digital signed screenshots.
Yes. Yes.
I also remember the 747. I think it was, it was maybe 10 meters away from the end of the runway. And I used every braking possibility I had.
Yeah. It was good fun. Good fun. Obviously, you can never take off again. That's the problem. You get it in, but you never get it out. So that aircraft.
Why? Why would you? You're famous. Just say there. You're a legend.
Yes.
Back to legend. Park it somewhere and celebrate the rest of your life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That aircraft is still there.
Yeah, well, speaking of fun, what about your... Let's cover a third flight of both of us.
Okay.
What about your third flight?
I chose something very exotic. I don't know if you remember this. Back in the days of FSX, the company Just Flight, they brought out a space shuttle. And since I'm very much into space and space flight, I obviously had to buy it. And that was something really cool because they would put you out in orbit and they would simulate the entire re-entry sequence together with visual effects. So you could see, you know, how everything started glowing and the streaks of plasma and everything. So it was really, really well done. And then once you were in the atmosphere, I think you came in at Mach 15 or something crazy. You had to, because there are no engines on a space shuttle, you had to use the atmosphere to slow you down and then land at Cape Canaveral at a crazy steep angle. You came down at, I can't remember, it felt like you were falling like a brick. I mean,
I read articles about it that they, I don't know, I think a piano is hit the ground. So there were some physical calculations that the piano, when you throw it out on a certain altitude, it hits the so to say, the ground before the space shuttle.
Yeah,
I read some. So there must be some crazy. Do some research about the space shuttle. Yes, yeah. This is old school, but it's for me still the most impressive. What is this by definition? An airplane? It is ever been out there in space? A glider? What's the definition of a space shuttle?
Would be interesting. I don't know. I would say it's an unpowered aeroplane.
It's sort of kind of a glider, a gigantic glider.
A very bad glider, to be honest.
Extremely bad. Yeah. Extremely useless. Useless glider.
But it was the add-on was a lot of fun, and everything was simulated, the cockpit, everything. And after touchdown, you had to deploy the parachute at the back to slow you down, and then you had to get rid of the parachute so it didn't get tangled up. So it was really, really well done. It was one of my favorite add-ons at the time. I mean, of course, it's limited of what you can do because the space shuttle needs such a long runway. You can really only land at a handful of airports, and it was designed to always bring you back to the Cape, so Cape Canaveral. But with the re-entry effects and everything, it was really cool. It was something really special. And of course, back then, the space shuttle was still flying. So, you know, it was cool. You could see it on the news, and then you could go in and try it for yourself. So, yeah, that was something I really enjoyed. Maybe somebody will bring it back in Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024. Something like a space shuttle would be really cool, I think.
So another Flight Sim add-on designer just made a note, Stefan. Okay, we got this on our list. No, it would be really impressive. I mean, they are also on YouTube. There must be still a lot of documentaries. And really, if you want to be motivated about the space shuttle or get really enthusiastic about the space shuttle, I mean, Backlider was bad joke. I mean, this is really, for me, it's one of the most amazing aircrafts or spacecraft, whatever, let's call it this way, that was ever built. This was just, it was amazing. It was my time. I mean, all the books we had back then, you know, you remember, Stefan, in our youth, the space shuttle was always, you know, this iconic pictures with this orange, what was this middle rocket and how it worked. And I had huge books, and there was the whole star effect. And sorry, I'm starting fantasizing back into my youth, but this was for me always the, so to say, the pinnacle of human space exploration.
Yeah, space shuttle was cool. Shame it's gone, but you know, on the other hand, we have a lot of stuff going on now with space flight, which is also really, really cool at the moment. So, yeah.
Yeah, coincidentally, we didn't coordinate this, but also my flight number 3 brings us to something that has gone, but not in flight simulation. It's the legendary checkerboard approach in Kite Duck. Yeah, Stefan made recently on his FS Clips channel also a video about it, how to fly into Kite Duck in MSFS 2024. But I enjoyed it back then. For me, the unforgettable experience, so to say, for me is still the Nine Dragons Kite Duck scenery in the FSX era. I mentioned it before on this podcast, but this was for me really, this kept me busy. I don't know how many approaches I managed there, and also played around a little bit with weather and wind, and it's fun if you play, especially when you use a little bit of fog or a little bit of side wind, and yeah, it's getting trickier and trickier, and especially with the also their BMDG 747-400 Queen of the Skies was my go-to aircraft, and it was, yeah, I think with this adventure alone, you can spend, yeah, days, if not weeks, of having fun with the flight sim. Would you agree, Stefan?
Yeah, absolutely. Kaitak is something really special, I think. Did you only fly the 747 or did you try other aircraft as well?
I don't remember. I just loved the ultimate challenge. And it was for me also, I have seen pictures back then of 747-400s, and I wanted to be one of those supermen.
Oh, very nice. Very, very nice.
Interestingly enough, maybe I know it's too long ago, but I think I didn't crash. But on the other hand, I also didn't make any real good landing, but all the landings were borderline, but I did it, you know, the glider pilot, I landed. It was, don't know, somehow it's crazy, crazy challenging, but once you get used to really follow, also when I've seen your video, you know, the tips you give here or the advices, they are worth evading goals, a goal that you said you have to resist the urge, so to say, to get higher. You dive right into the houses, and then there is this crazy turn right, and I was really, yeah, my neck were racing when I was seeing this video. It was back in, you know, it was like back in time. Still, I mean, the scenery is much beautiful today, certainly, but it's still the challenge is exactly the same. The mental challenge is exactly the same. And speaking of mental challenge, if this is not mental training, then what? I mean, you really feel like the king when you land the Queen of the Skies in Kai Tak. This is, but certainly also, as you proved it with the Airbus, I think it's quite tricky, isn't it, the A320?
Yeah, it is. It is. I think any aircraft really would be tricky. There are some that are more difficult than others. I think we talked about this on the podcast. I have some colleagues that used to actually fly into Kai Tak when it was still open. They claim that the most difficult aircraft to fly into Kai Tak was the MD-11 because the approach speed was around 160 to 165 knots. So everything happens very fast. And in order to make the turn, you had to go into at least 30 degree bank because you're flying so fast. So it was all, yeah, they said if you had a crosswind from the right, it was really, really difficult with those aircraft. So yeah, I have a lot of respect for those people that used to do this. But you know, they received special training. They trained on the simulator, and then they did it. And I mean, if you look back in history, actually, Kai Tak, there it was a pretty safe airport considering the approach. It was very, very rare that anything went wrong.
Yeah, and as I said, also nowadays it's confidence training at its finest. This is what I can say as a mental coach. It's really, if you want to have mental training in a flight simulator, go for Kai Tak.
Yeah, yes.
But yeah, I mentioned in the beginning that I have two flight sim adventures which brings me back to my very, very beginnings, my early teenage years, and one to about my what I'm doing now in the evening. And these are, spoiler alert, the adventures number 4 and number 5. We will cover next time. And I am looking forward also for your next adventures, because the list is long. But I think, yeah, I mean, three flights, it's good, 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 good progress.
Yes. Well, that's what we said we would do. So that's fine.
Yeah.
We are on track.
I think also our podcast is like a little bit of your, it's a podcast spirit, audiocast spirit, like your YouTube channel. Sometimes a deep dive. I think the listeners will enjoy.
Yeah, of course. And like you said, we would love to hear from you. If anyone has a favorite airport or a favorite story or anything like an adventure, flight sim adventure that you really want to share, then just put it in the comments. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. We will certainly go on with this series, but also in the future. So if you write some wishes of yours, they might be covered later on because we record this series certainly now in February, but we will come back to this topic in the, so to say, long, long, hopefully long, long, long history of Aviation Quest to see anyway. And other than that, if you know somebody who might be a great guest here at Aviation Quest to see, please also leave a comment, especially from the flight simulation scene. I think, Stefan, there is also in the realm of flight simulation, there are a lot of interesting people, and just write. And maybe also directly where we can contact them and we will reach out, and maybe some, yeah, also interviews are certainly a goal of our ongoing interviews are part of the Aviation Quest to See journey.
Exactly. Yeah. We are wrapping up a number of interviews right now. We can't, unfortunately, can't give you any names yet, but we will announce them. And obviously, you know, we've always said this is not about me and Jürgen. This is about the whole thing. And the more guests we get, the better, especially people that are from the industry and can give us a bit of a background. Knowledge, stuff like that. So that's really the goal, that we have other people coming on as guests that we can interview, that can we can talk to. And hopefully, I mean, like I said, we already have a number of people that we have interviewed or about to interview. But if you know anyone, please let us know.
Perfect. Stefan, thank you for your time. Last thing from my side, an easy way to connect directly with me is LinkedIn. I also started there posting every Tuesday the episode together with a nice picture. And I am, I'm looking forward to hearing or reading from you. And Stefan, thank you, as I said, for your time. And looking forward for episode 20.
Yes. Again, it was a pleasure talking to you, Jürgen. You have a good day. And I give you greetings from a very warm, sunny Mallorca. And we'll speak again soon, yeah?
This is like always the end of the podcast, so period. So this was okay. Now I don't know. It's over. Thank you.
Okay, see ya.
Thank you for listening to Aviation Quest CC, Stories from Above. For more information about this episode and everything we do, visit our homepage aviation-quest.cc. We appreciate your time and support, and we'd love to have you back for the next episode. Until then, stay safe, stay curious, and keep your passion for aviation flying high.